procedural history below. So anyway, Mr. Cambrone, you may feel free to speak to whatever issue you wish, recognizing we may or may not reschedule arguments or something, but I think that under the circumstances, we'll proceed in a limited way.
Thank you, and I'll be limited. My name is Carl Cambrone. I represent the Murphy Dressing Consulting Company. 3 months prior to the trial of this action, the then presiding judge, it switched at time of trial, denied summary judgment, just saying there's a fact issue here on this contract about when you're to get paid and therefore go to trial. So we went to trial. Now that order from Judge Brown 3 months before trial is not reviewable under the jurisprudence of this court. What happened at trial, of course, is reviewable. But as you'll note from the letter brief filed by Mr. Albright, there's no particular error pointed out that was allegedly committed by the trial court during the course of this trial. He doesn't suggest that you didn't tell them about ambiguity, the jury about ambiguities properly or how to construe a contract. None of that is said. He essentially makes his closing argument again in his letter brief to this court. There was no post-trial motions suggesting that evidence wasn't let in or you didn't let me argue what I wanted to argue or as I say, the jury instructions didn't talk about ambiguity. None of that, no post-trial motion, but right at the end of the appeal period, this appeal is filed, comes over the transom, and essentially says, geez, but the jury should have decided my way. Well, that's not the way it works. And hence we ask you to affirm. And if you want me to answer specific questions about this whole matter, I'd be happy to.
I was wondering, just as a matter of understanding the procedural history, whether there was a mid-trial motion for a directed verdict?
I don't believe so. I'm going to have to defer and just say, you know, the trial transcript that he provided doesn't have that in it. I don't believe there was. I know there was no post-trial motions. We just went right from my case, and he called, I think, two witnesses, and the jury was instructed, and the jury came back.
I noticed the trial transcript that I think it's a partial transcript that was submitted contains the testimony of two witnesses, Mr. Dress and Mr. Murphy.
Right.
Do you know how many witnesses there were total at trial?
I believe there were two other. Those were the only ones I called, Mr. Murphy and Mr. Dress, and that's essentially the cross and direct on those two. And he called, Mr. Albright called, a fellow by the name of Mr. Cardo, who's the CEO of the company, and another person who is was a director of the company. So there are four witnesses.
Okay. So the transcript we have is incomplete, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I believe that the jury instructions are reflected in the court file, a document like this.
They are, you've got them. Apparently, I have one in my briefcase if you wanted one, but the jury instructions are there. But as I say, they now are the law of the case because they weren't challenged either at the time of the charge or in a post-trial motion.
Okay, appears there are no further questions. The case, I guess, is submitted subject to the possibility of any request by Mr. Albright and any response by the court to that request.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cambrone.
To the snow.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Very good. Thank you.
Hopefully beyond the snow to someplace warm, not just to the snow.
That is the end of our oral argument calendar today, so the court is now in recess.